Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Mike Stewart's not digging the show. At @pirate_radio_DJ.
Bet he talks like that, mate.
Oh, God, what happened to you, Ian Lee? I liked you. You used to be funny. Now it's like listening to paint dry. All right, Mike, let's just see. Oh, you've got 125 followers and I bet your life is a complete and utter failure. Well done. Keep going, Mike.
Keep smiling.
Keep on working, Mike. Keep on keeping on. One day at a time, brother, you miserable git. Here's the thing, right? Here's the thing. As a society, partly because of people like Mike, and partly because of that Dan, and partly because of Steve Bannon and Tommy Robinson, but all of these different Trump and Johnson and Theresa May and all of these people, right? All of these people, 0344 499 1000. Wasim, what do you want, man? You can't just keep coming and going.
No, mate, the phone got cut off.
All right, well, quickly, let's get to the point, because I'm doing a thing now.
No, I just wanted to let you know the phone got cut off.
All right, well, yeah. Jesus. Oh, man, by the way, can I just clarify the rule, Catherine, because you're guilty of breaking this rule. If person A phones person B, and if at any point that phone call dies, lack of signal ever, it's person A's responsibility to phone back, not person B's. Because what happens is, person A, let's call him Ian, phones up person B, Catherine, and then the phone conversation dies. So then person A follows the rules to re-phone person B. But person B has taken it upon herself to phone person A. Catherine is phoning Ian. And what that means is we both go to voicemail. So there's like 2 minutes where I'm going, oh, come
okay
on.
I promise, from now on, never to call you.
Perfect. I can work with that. I can work with those stats. 0344 499 1000. Because of people like that, right, it has become acceptable to be meaner and to be nastier, right? It's acceptable to be nasty, horrid and mean to people. Now, Twitter, we'll talk about what happened to you on Friday in a minute, Catherine, because this is incredible, right? But Twitter, okay, first of all, I would say the first kind of online thing were online forums where people could sign up under an assumed name. And this was in the 90s, about 96, 97. Chat rooms and online forums, right, where people could sign up under an assumed name, you know, Thor69, whatever, and go and slag off someone famous or in the chat rooms, just pick on someone. Find someone in the chat room and you pick on them and you destroy them. And it's kind of grown, and Twitter is a distillation of chat rooms and of internet forums. And it's now the perfect medium for being mean. It's a meandium, right? Because you can be listening to, let's say you listen to a radio show, and instantly you can send a message to the presenter of the show, the co-host of the show, the producer of the show, the technical operator of the show, the boss of the station's boss's boss, the agent of it. You can send a tweet and include all those people in and go, this is crap and I hate you all and I want you to die. You can do that instantly without any thought. It takes you 20 seconds to type that. It's gone. It's out in space. It's gone. The person that sent it is gone. They're on to the next thing, right? But that 20 seconds to write that, That can be sent to, like, let's say six people, right? All of those six people are going to have a different emotional response to that. I tend to, I don't so much at the moment, which is great, but I have on occasion taken these things very, very much to heart. I know that sometimes you do, Catherine, mm-hmm. You know, despite, you know, being the tough nut, sometimes you, if you're a little bit wobbly, they get you. They just go around the ribs and go straight into the heart. My boss tends to laugh them off. I'm sure his boss doesn't even give, you know, but it, everyone has a slightly different emotional reaction to it. And you can say anything. Nadia, the Bake Off, was it Bake Off?
Yeah.
Bake Off winner, who I follow on Twitter. She didn't, never made me that strawberry flan, but it doesn't matter. I follow her on Twitter and she's, we kind of texted each other for a bit. We don't now. I sent the last one. And she's got a new series starting tonight, right, on the TV. Not my cup of tea. I probably won't watch it, but it's nice for her. Good for her. She seems like a very, very nice person from what I can gather. Delightful human being. Suffers from anxiety massively. Has panic attacks. Jack, stay there. I'll come to you in a minute. Loads of people going, why has a Muslim woman got a cookery show?
Wow.
Did you see these tweets? Someone tweeted Ian Dale from LBC.
I saw that
Why do you think this Muslim woman has got a show when there are plenty of other good cooks out there that haven't got shows?
So, quite apart from the fact that she is by far the most charming of the Bake Off contestants of recent times, and she's approachable, and she's pretty. I mean, she's very pretty and talented.
Yeah.
What else do you want us to say? Oh, I know exactly what you want us to say.
Because she's a bloody Muslim and it's political correctness gone mad. Ian Dale wrote a great reply. I do like Ian Dale. I disagree with him quite a bit on politics, but I like him. He's always been very charming to me. He wrote something along the lines of, I don't know, maybe it's because she was engaging and warm and people really took to her. I'm looking forward to watching it. And she gets this stuff all the time. You don't know her. I don't know her.
From people who think that they've got the hot take and they're the first person to point this stuff out.
And what's great about her is she'll engage with them very calmly, very rationally.
Yeah.
She'll engage with them. And she said to this person, would you have sent that to a, you know, a white man? Or so she engaged with them. So open Islamophobia is acceptable. Homophobia is acceptable again. There's lots of... I saw a little thing about this online. There's lots of memes of Putin and Trump being gay for each other. Well, that's homophobia. That's saying that two blokes... And, of course, you know, we can all guess at what their relationship is. A lot of people think it's a relationship based on corruption and control. But to suggest that is any way homoerotic... That's kind of homophobic. Say these two blokes have got a weird relationship. They must be bent. That's what that is. And the number of women, you know, people, the abuse I got just for crying on TV. Oh well, whatever. You know, the number of women that get sent dick pics and I'm going to rape you, bitch. We had a call on the show last Thursday from someone who I suspect was quite high on prescribed painkillers. I think it was Thursday. And some of you heard it. Some of you heard the uncensored call on YouTube. And he phoned up to thank me and Catherine for helping him through a tough time and through a tough winter and all of that. And then he called Catherine a bitch. Now, at first, I thought it was misplaced banter. I thought he just completely misjudged the tone and a quick... you know, oi mate, steady on, that ain't acceptable, would have got him going, oh, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean it like that. You know, bitch is a strong word, but perhaps it was a misjudge of tone. And so I did, I kind of was taken aback and I gave him the benefit of the doubt. I said, whoa, mate, steady on, come on, that's my best mate you're talking about. Let's just, you know, maybe you want to apologise. And he said, no, I don't want to apologise. I stick by that. So what I did was I told him to F off and then I pressed the dump button and we got rid of him. But the fact that he was so easily prepared to phone up a radio station and say to a woman he'd never met, you're a bitch, right? And that is a strong word. And it can be you're such a bitch. You know, it can be kind of a slightly frothy, throwaway word. But in that context, he might as well have said the C word. You know, you're right. It was loaded with anger.
I don't think it is a throwaway word when it's used against a woman you don't know.
No, I thank you. I take that on board completely. I do take that on board completely. But I was shocked by it. And afterwards, I know we were messaging each other after. I felt bad that I had given him the benefit of the doubt and had given him an opportunity, But that must have been horrible. I know it upset you.
Yeah, it did.
And it got you on a wobble.
It did, because it was just so shocking, like that level of aggression from someone who, up to that point, seemed like he was going for gratitude. I mean, yeah. And also, I know I don't deserve that. I know I don't deserve
no,
that.
No, not at all.
And I haven't... It just puzzles me why some people feel that they can say the first thing that comes to their mind because they're just being themselves, just being honest. Actually, it's bloody rude.
And, sorry to interrupt, do you want to say something else?
No, but I also think cowardly targeting a woman.
Yeah. There's almost a point. There's not really a point. We're just talking about how meanness has kind of grown and has become acceptable again. The reason that we are not, if you watch us on Periscope, we've turned off the chat. And it'll be turned off permanently now because I can't monitor it. And most people on there are good people. But there were a couple, someone called, again, no one's using their real names, none the wiser. There's this Onion character who used to email me at the start and when it was quite charming, you know, charming little bit of fun at the very, very start. And I've had a few emails with this person about a year ago. But they were laughing at the bitch and going, yeah, she is a bit. They were kind of supportive. So supporting that comment. So because of that, you know, we've just shut down the chat on the Periscope. If you want to chat, go to the YouTube channel.
There is a small minority of people who will say that they've been following you for years in particular, who have got a real bee in their bonnet about me.
Yep.
And just voice it all the time because they feel I think there's a strong element of jealousy in there.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but what they don't realise is this is our show.
And I'm not picking, you know, we're singling out Catherine there just because she's here, an example. But this is everywhere now. And maybe you want to phone up. And if you want to phone up and share your stories of it, 0344 499 1000. This meanness that is kind of pervading everywhere. Meanness bordering on and sometimes crossing over into actual nastiness. Misogyny, homophobia, racism, Islamophobia. All kinds of things, because we're just speaking our mind. If I want to call out someone, it's free speech. Okay, well, free speech has consequences. Do you remember last week we were looking at a story about how wolf whistling is set to become a crime? That's a kind of a made-up story, because wolf whistling isn't set to become a crime. But harassing women in the street, of which wolf whistling is a small part of that, harassing women in the street and being verbally, vocally aggressive is possibly going to become a hate crime, and rightfully so. And the Star were going, well, this is outrageous. There's nothing wrong with it. And I'm sure that, you know, I'm sure that there were other presenters on this station and other stations going, well, this is just a good bit of British banter. But I'm going to ask Catherine to tell us what happened to her on her way home on Friday, right? And this is horrendous, right? This is horrendous. And I genuinely think that's the next step up from wolf whistling. This was on the way home.
Yeah, so it's 1:30 in the morning. I'm driving through London, part of London I'm not familiar with because there have been diversions in place. So I'm desperately trying to work out where it was. Because I know that there are people listening to this who will say it didn't happen. So I want to give you as many specifics as possible. But I know that I'd driven down Marylebone Road and I'd taken a left off there, and I was at some lights. I think it was the lights that you turn right onto and you end up going down towards St. John's Wood, that kind of way. So, no, there's not very many people on the road at that time. I stick a podcast on, or I listen to the radio on the way home, and you know, and just try and decompress from the show. So I'm driving home. I've been driving for about 30 minutes. Stop at these lights, and I become aware of this other car. I drive a Mini, and there was another Mini next to me, and they were honking their horn, and they were really close. And you know, you get that feeling, that kind of sixth sense that someone's trying to
Attention. It's the beep in the horn.
You could tell they were looking at me. Yeah, yeah. And I think there were two guys in there, but there was the driver was the main one, because he was hanging out of the window. I was trying to ignore them, but I was just really conscious that they were closer than just being in the car, right? So, I mean, 1:30, what could they possibly tell me? First of all, I checked my lights were on and everything, and it wasn't anything that I needed to know from them safety-wise, but I just thought they'd be an idiot. So I ignored them, and they kept on honking, and then I kind of looked across and saw that there was two guys there and thought, right, yeah, they are being dicks. And then they pulled across in front of my car.
Wow.
So that their car was not quite blocking me, but bearing in mind the lights are red at this point, it was like a good portion of the front right-hand side of their bonnet was across my car, so I couldn't avoid looking at them.
Yeah.
And he hung out of his window and he was like being suggestive and making kissing gestures. And and I was like, inside, I was thinking, it was all happened so fast. I was thinking, really? I can't believe this. And I kind of looked at him wearily and went, come on, mate.
Yeah.
Just then the lights changed. I had to drive around him because he wasn't moving. I had to drive around him to get away, at which point I'm looking in the mirror to make sure he's not following me, because then that's the next thing, isn't it? They start following me. What do I do? You've got to drive to a police station, I guess. When you said to me, I told you about it afterwards, and you said to me, oh, did you get a picture? And it was like, at that point, they were so close to me both times, I couldn't have got a plate anyway.
No, of course not.
And also, in that moment where my hands are off the wheel getting a photo, they could get out of the car.
Oh, no, exactly. And you did the right thing. But I was just thinking, it would be so delicious to have put that number plate online and found out who those arseholes were.
I wish.
But you, I also think you were really upset by it.
It was one of those moments where, as I drove away, I thought, did I do the right thing? They could do that to someone else. What if it hadn't been me? I mean, I kind of acted cool, even though inside I was panicking a little bit. I wasn't panicking, but it was that moment where, you know, you feel the rage bubbling.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, God.
But I kept it cool and sort of acted like, come on, mate, you know, don't be ridiculous. But actually, I was thinking, what if it had been an older woman? They couldn't have seen me. So all this, oh, you're gorgeous, all this bollocks. They couldn't have seen me anyway. It wasn't a flattery thing, not even a misplaced flattery thing. It was, I can see a woman on her own in a car.
I can smell tits and a vagina. That's it, though. I mean, that's what it is.
What if it had been my sister or my mum, or, you know, or a younger woman?
Or you've had a kid in the back that you know.
Or a woman that something has happened to.
Or what if it had just been you? Do you know what I mean? It was you and it happened to you, and that is awful. And I was upset because it's my mate. And you were upset, and you guys just said, look, just get home and we'll talk when you get home. Mm-hmm. And you were upset when you messaged me. And the next day, it obviously had an impact on you, and you were a little bit grey.
I'm just bloody furious about it, because it's that thing of, I don't see myself as being any less of a person because I wasn't born with a penis. And I'm a bit pissed off that I'm a 40-year-old woman and I'm still having to deal with this shit.
Why are we telling this? Because it's just, I don't know, really. It's just this meanness and this bullying and this, I mean, who in their right mind thinks it's acceptable to see a woman in a car, whether it's one bloke or two blokes, and go, right, well, let's try and scare her.
Did they think I was going to go, yeah, come on then, lads, let's go and have it off.
What is the thinking behind that? Man, what is the thinking behind that? So, yeah, I think it's great, this thing about banning wolf whistling and all of that.
But remember, that's the second time something like that's happened to me on the way home from work. Yeah. Do you remember that time they were just driving alongside me, peering in through the window?
Yeah. This is nuts, man. You know, there are some great, beautiful, wonderful people in the world. And most of you are those great and beautiful, kind people. And that's great. And we don't want this to be, we're not scaremongering. We're not trying to create fear and tension. I'm just asking the question, why is it so acceptable to be mean, to be nasty, to bully? And your examples of it. Gerard's calling in!
Yes!
That's great news. I can cross that one off here. Your examples of it, and what do we... can we stop it?
Also, I dare someone to come up and say again, because you hear it every day, oh, it's gone too far now, women have got the power, poor men.
No.
All right, when women can walk down the street at night without carrying their keys like Wolverine, then we'll talk about who's in charge.
We've got some phone calls. We've got Jack, we've got Roger, we've got Dion, we've got Gerard, who's got the logbook. Look, I've written his name and circled it down on my things to talk about.
Where is Gerard?
034, we're late for the ad, sorry, 0344 499 1000. We will get to all of you. Jack, you've been waiting the longest. We'll get to you first. This is the Late Night Alternative on Talk Radio.
Experience the unconventional,
evening, boss.
The unpredictable,
what's happening?
And the completely unorthodox,
exactly.
With rule-free Ian Lee, the late night alternative with Ian Lee.
I've got no internet for the last 4 days.
On Talk Radio.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, I'm Jamie East. Now, as well as being on Talk Radio every afternoon between 1 and 4pm, I've just started a brand new podcast that I wanted to tell you about. It's called Talk Film. We've got interviews with the big stars like Martin Freeman, Tandy Newton, Josh Brolin, loads of them. And also all of the reviews of the week's big releases. There's a new episode every Thursday, available through Apple Podcasts and your favourite podcast app. Just search for Talk Film and give it a whirl. If you like it, please hit that subscribe button.
The Late Night Alternative with that man, Ian Lee. There's no strangers here, just friends you haven't stalked on Facebook yet.
Have never sent my picture to anyone who didn't request it.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Yes.
I'm enjoying chatting, and I've not even called you a pedo yet, which I will do in a bit.
A pedo.
A pedo. If you wrong me, I'm calling you a pedo, all right? So don't... We'll explain.
It works like that.
Apparently it does. Oh, no, I'm not a multi-billionaire. Let's go to Jack first. He's been on the longest. Good evening, Jack.
Evening, Ian. Evening, Cass.
Jack, hello. What have you got for us?
Well, I was just going back to what you were speaking about, the gig at the weekend.
Yeah,
about,
go on.
The Beach Boys and about... God Only Knows, which I think is just such an amazing song. And you were talking about your boys and you were talking about being a dad. And
yeah.
And it got me thinking about this. I don't know if it's like a myth, and I think you're the guy who will know the answer.
Go on.
Because I've heard that, I've always thought God Only Knows is about kind of like, God only knows how awful my life would be without you. Like, God only knows what I'd be without you in my life.
Yeah.
But I heard someone once say to me, no, it's actually about the writer's father who was horrible, and he's actually saying, God only knows what I could have been in my life.
It's about being in... The whole album, Pet Sounds, is a love story. But take out Sloop John B. The whole thing is a love story. It's about being young, being in love. Wouldn't it be nice? You follow the story through. Wouldn't it be nice? God only knows. And then full of angst and self-doubt, then having an affair, then pining for a lost love. That's the whole story of the album. So God Only Knows is a... It's kind of about that first... You know that feeling you get when you have your first love, right? And you think, this is it. And you know, this is everything. And your parents going, well, just tread cautiously because for you, I know my first, this is it. I'm going to be in love with this woman, this man forever, this girl, this boy forever. And oh, God only knows what I'd be without you. I'd be nothing. If you left me, yeah, the stars would go on. And yeah, the moon would go on. Yeah, life would go on. But I'd be nothing without you. That's what it's about. Nothing to do with his dad. Although his dad did once, to punish his boys, he did stand on the dining table and do a shit on a plate. So yeah.
Right, so it could be.
No, it's not!
I think there's something about when they were writing it, someone said it should be.
No, there's nothing.
Are you going definitive?
I'm going definitive. And do you want, what does he ask? Qualifications. I've studied the Beach Boys my whole life.
Okay, all right, okay.
Do you want to... I was going to play this last week. I'll tell you what we'll do. I won't play it now because it's quite long. Well, it's 40 minutes. I won't play the full 40 minutes. After 11, how well do you know the Beach Boys' oeuvre, Jack?
Oh, I love the Beach Boys.
Help Me, Rhonda?
Yep. Right. Help Me, Rhonda.
Help Me, Rhonda. I love that. Bam, but it's a pointing song, isn't it? Oh, here we go. 03444991000, pointing songs. Help Me, Rhonda. Help Me. It's a pointing song. Anyway. After 11, I will play you a snippet. There's a great bootleg of the recording session for Help Me Rhonda when Brian Wilson's dad, Murray Wilson, turns up at the studio, and it is the most uncomfortable listen you will ever hear. I'll play some of it after 11, but it's definitely not what God Only Knows is about.
Okay, I'll take your word for it.
Thank you, mate. Cheers. I've got to move. So I want to go to Gerard.
How's it going, Ian? How's it
going? Mate, I'm showing the YouTube audience my list of things to talk about. Your name is in big letters and circled. What the hell's going on, big man?
How's it going, bro? How's it going? Listen, Kath, I'll agree with you what you were saying earlier. What I want to speak to Ian is there regarding people and how they talk nowadays.
Hang on. Have you got our logbook?
Yes, and as I speak, it's getting printed as we speak. I'm just... Everything's all going to need.
What? We thought you were Scott Mills and you were stealing it for your show.
No, a phone call
would have been nice, Gerard! A phone call would have been nice!
Anyway, but I'm going to hear it anyway, and I've got a good night.
Bless you, buddy. Let us know when you're done and you send it back. Thank you, mate, as long as it's safe.
Just to talk about the way people talk nowadays, Ian, right? Yeah. And I'll agree with Kath, which you said, people are just jealous nowadays. That's all it is. Also, Ian, what we've got, as well as working, I'm also doing my Bachelor of Arts in Social Sciences. I'm doing Open University at night, and it's really hard work. And it covers a lot of sociology, psychology, and economics and politics, how it's all connected. And there's a famous Canadian sociologist called Irving Goffman, and he presented a book called Presenting the Self in the Social Life.
Yeah.
Now, what we've got, Ian, myself and yourself and Kath, and when I meet you at your gig, we've got what you call a shared understanding when we communicate, right?
Right, go on.
But within that, you've got obviously different people with different understandings and what they say. And again, it's all due to what people, the context of what they say, the content and its interpretation and its potential. But the majority of people in normalised life have got what they call a shared understanding. And I'll also bring about politics into Israel and Cathay. You've got this laissez-faire neoliberal approach where people nowadays don't care. They don't care in life, they don't care at their work, and even when they speak to one another, they don't really care.
Yeah. I didn't understand the first 3 minutes, but this bit I got. Yeah, you're right, a lot of people don't care. We're disengaged from everything around us, yes.
That's right, aye. And that's it, as I say, it's just people nowadays, they just don't seem to care.
But why have they got this laissez-faire? Is it technology? Is it social media? Is it games? Is it TV? What is it?
Fearing is fear.
Of?
It's a psychological fear. That's what it is like. See, it all goes back to as you could say, crawling off the trees and scraping their knuckles. Evolution is part of evolution, right?
But fear of what? Fear of what? Death?
It's the fear of nothing, because again, it goes back to our hunter-gatherer days. What's that around the corner? What's this? What's that? So all these sort of things are really connected, Ian, to the psychological, the evolutionary psychology as well as the social, So you can see why it's all connected, but I can see nowadays, Ian, more and more people have got that distasteful and disconnected way of talking, Definitely.
That's the downside. Is there an upside? Can we change it? Can we do anything?
We're still evolving, Ian. That's what it is. We're still evolving.
And
we'll go through a sort of space and a time where we'll come off that and go back to what we used to call normal way of talking, and communicating and interacting face-to-face interacting, So, excuse me for voice, but a bit of sore throat than you're saying. But that's what it is, Ian.
Right.
It's presenting itself in the social life.
Yeah.
And it's all stage managed, Ian. You've got the front end, the back end, and when we talk to people, it's basically all stage, But again, basically, it's all due to fearing. It's an evolutionary connection to when we're in our past, and it's all part of that connection, to the evolutionary psychological side of things,
Gerard, it's good to talk to you, man. I'm glad you're alive and well, and we'll speak to you again soon, brother.
Thanks, Ian.
Bye-bye. I love it when we have an intellectual call that I don't understand.
So good.
I got the middle bit about no one cares. They're all kind of in this cotton wool bubble and
do what you want.
And that's why, you see examples of caring, like the Trump protests and stuff like that, but really most people don't care, as long as you're comfortable.
I remember our strict deputy headmaster, Mr. Bomer, once getting
Mr. what?
Bomer.
Wowzers. That's
we didn't even think
name.
Of that.
Dangerous
that's
name.
That's how innocent we were.
Wowzers.
We were also terrified of him, so we wouldn't have dared.
You've got 15 seconds.
Getting us into an assembly and shouting at us and telling us that we were all from the generation of if it feels good, do it, and we were going to come a cropper.
And he was right, look.
He was.
He was predicting Brexit and Trump.
The radio show where the owls are not what they seem.
Do you or have you ever watched Twin Peaks?
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
We could be dreaming and meeting each other in our dreams.
On Talk Radio.
There's is a great song, and for a long time it was my favourite of all the Beach Boys songs. Odd choice. First single that Al Jardine sang on, possibly the first song he sang lead vocals on, I can't quite remember. In a bit, I'll play you. You can find the whole 40 minutes online. I'll play you about 5 minutes or so of Murray Wilson, the Beach Boys' dad, who used to be their manager until they fired him. He got his own back, though. He sold the entire Beach Boys catalogue in 1969 for $700,000 without telling them. just finishing reading the great... I love reading about the Beach Boys, and I've read their stories so many times, but I just love it. Well, I sounded like David Priever then. I just love it.
No, you sounded sincere.
Okay. And he rocks up at the Help Me Rhonda session, and he's drunk, and he starts bossing the Beach Boys around. And they're already, you know, when was Help Me Rhonda? 64? So they've already been massive for 2 years. It's incredible. So uncomfortable. So uncomfortable, but really interesting hearing... Well, Murray Wilson's probably younger than I am in that. But hearing... Forget that they are the biggest... This is just before the Beatles happened. Just as the Beatles happened. So they were like probably the biggest band in America at the time. But it's just that it's... Forget that. It's the dynamic between... overbearing dad and three sons, one of whom he absolutely, you know, worships and adores, Carl, one of whom he despises because he's so naughty, Dennis, and one of whom he is jealous of, Brian. And then you've got Cousin Mike Love and you've got band member Al Jardine, but it's the relationship between the dad and those three sons. It's fascinating. We'll do that in a minute. We've got a couple of calls we've been waiting for ages. It's the man who inspired the title of tonight's Periscope. It's online cheat. It's Roger.
Good evening, Ian and Catherine.
Roger!
Hey.
Roger! Hey, Roger, how you doing, man?
I'm great. What happened to Catherine is awful.
Isn't it?
Awful, awful. It ties into the Twitter as well because there are a sizable... It's a minority, but there are a sizable minority of dicks.
Yeah.
And they're always the most vocal, the most self-confident. So they, a lot of the time, they think they're brilliant, and they're not. They're idiots.
But here's the thing. Wouldn't it be lovely if Twitter went, you know what, this experiment we've been doing for the past 10 years, not really worked out. And it's created hate. So we're closing. Thanks very much. Bye.
No.
I mean, of course they never will, but wouldn't that be amazing?
I love Twitter, to be honest. It has its downsides, but I suppose being higher profile, that's where you see the abuse. I don't think it is.
I think, well, possibly being higher profile, possibly being woman, possibly being Muslim, possibly being openly gay or bisexual or transgender. All of these, you know, hey, listen, I get the fact I'm a white, middle-aged, heterosexual, middle-class man. I get it, right? I get it. I've got all the privilege. But there are so many people, including friends of mine, who have received abuse just because they've got a vagina and not a dick. You know, that's not...
And it's you'll get told that you're a minger, or you'll get told that you're up yourself, you know. So
or you're a slag.
Yeah, that's another one. I mean, it's just, these are people, and sometimes you look at their profile, and it's like, happily married dad of three, or I love my daughters. You think, right, well, someone's going to talk to them like that one day, and you ain't going to like it.
They've all got profiles like that. Yeah. That's one of the reasons why I don't have my own picture as my avatar, because as Ian shockingly outed me on Friday as partially sighted. It's no secret. It's in my Twitter profile. And years ago, I used to use online forums and chat sites and stuff. And I had I had a picture up, and I got so much abuse because of the way my eyes look.
It's like a playground, isn't it?
Yeah. If I post a picture of myself on Twitter, I'm wearing sunglasses. I've been abused on the street because of the way my eyes look.
Wow.
Really? I'm saying really so I don't believe it. No, of course I believe it because I've heard loads of stories about it. Yeah, of course I believe
it. And I think there is an atmosphere these days because we're sort of post-Trump and all this Bannon and all these characters who are getting paid to say what they think, and everyone thinks it's, you know, a sizable minority think that it's laudable to be, you know, a character and to say and be outrageous, right? And I think now we're living in an atmosphere of that being more not acceptable, but people feel more entitled to be able to express themselves like that.
Yeah.
Who was the woman? There's a woman. I'm trying to find the story. There's a woman. A story I saw online last week. And it was a celeb. I think it was a celebrity. Someone will know better. A celebrity woman in a wheelchair, and she got called like a cripple and shouted abuse as she was crossing the road or something. It was in the papers last week, and I had it down as something to maybe talk about, and I didn't. And it doesn't surprise me no. in the slightest.
And the other thing is, it used to be when I was sort of in my teens, we always used to tell each other, well, it's the older generation, they're not used to change, you know, they'll be the ones that when they die off, all the homophobia will go with it. Nah, do you know what? There seems to be here a trend for young people behaving that way yeah. now, and that's the frightening thing.
Here we go. I just typed in woman in wheelchair and clicked on story, right? And it's not even the same story. But listen to these two stories have come up in the last month. This is from the 16th of July. Woman in wheelchair assaulted by stranger in Bury St Edmunds. A woman in a wheelchair was subjected to verbal abuse after a man climbed onto her wheelchair in Bury St Edmunds. The man is described as white, age between, and there you go, with people who say, well, we don't hear anything if it's, we don't hear the description, it's a white guy. Age between 50 and 60, around 5 foot
what?
10, and of large build. He was wearing a white T-shirt and light-coloured shorts. Right, so that's one story from a couple of days ago. Then, where was the other one I just saw? Here we go, here's another one from 21st of June. Manchester Evening News. Woman in wheelchair punched in the head by thug who tried to steal handbag. Disabled woman in a wheelchair was punched in the head by a thug who tried to steal her handbag. The defenceless victim who has cerebral palsy. Just take that in for a minute. The defenceless victim who has cerebral palsy was brutally attacked on her way home from shopping on Tuesday afternoon. The man snatched hold of her handbag, but the woman, who is in her 30s, bravely fought back.
Good for her.
He punched her in the back of the head and she screamed before he fled. Right?
Is it wrong that I find that less shocking because there was at least a point to that attack than the bloke who clambered onto a woman?
Hang on, there's just... my computer's frozen because I just want to... Sometimes it does that when you click on papers, doesn't it? Let me just read one more because I just saw another one. There's loads, by the way. There's loads. 13th of July. These are all from local papers. This is from York Mix. Two men assault woman in wheelchair on York Street. A woman in a wheel 13th of July. A woman in a wheelchair was subjected to a verbal and physical assault in broad daylight. The woman and her husband were on the village in Haxby at 2:15 on Thursday, July the 12th. Two men verbally abused the couple, and one of them pushed the woman, who was in an electric wheelchair.
God.
I literally just typed in woman in wheelchair, clicked the news button, and those are in the top 10. It's incredible. And people feel empowered to do that stuff. I'm just speaking my mind.
It's horrendous. I'm lucky in that way. I've not had anything quite as bad as that. I've been assaulted once, but that wasn't anything to do with my partial sight. It was just a nutter. But the incident that stuck in my mind was long before. It must have been about 12 years ago. Walking along, minding my own business, chatting away to somebody on my mobile. Next minute, I'm passing a bunch of fairly young people, probably late teens, early 20s. One of them stands up, points at me. Look at his eye.
No, man.
Middle of the town centre. Middle of the town centre. That's got to be at least 12 years ago.
Well, here's the thing, right? My boys don't do it so much now, but occasionally they will see someone who is different for maybe it's a disability or they look different, and they will stop. Actually, they've not done it for a long time because their nan is in a care home with lots of people of all different kinds of physical disability, and they when they go and see her, they help they sit on her lap and drive her electric wheelchair, and they, you know, they help feed her and all of this stuff. So they're actually kind of used to being around people who look different, in inverted commas, you know. But when they were young, if they would say, why is that, you know, these kids say quite loudly, why does that person look like that? And I'd always make a point of going, well, you know, explaining it to them. And for kids to do that, that's kind of normal, because kids like uniforms and they like everything, you know, making sense. And when it doesn't, they go, well, that looks different, and that's fine.
And let's be honest, we encourage them to ask questions.
Oh, God, yeah. But when you've got adults, actual adults, going, look at that bloke's eyes. Ooh. What?
That little story, what you just said then, that reminds me of an incident when one of my, I can't remember, my oldest or youngest nephew, my dad was taking him to school, and he saw his first person of colour for the first time. And he innocently goes up to the dad and the other kid, just looks at them and says, why are you two a different colour?
Yeah.
Like, racism, bigotry, it's learnt behaviour. You're not born with it.
Yeah.
You're not born with it.
Exactly. Someone's just tweeted me. It's an actress called Sherilee Houston, who's in Coronation Street, got abused. Sherilee, who plays Izzy Armstrong in the ITV soap, was crossing the road, she's in a wheelchair, when a male motorist shouted a vile and cruel slur at her. Oh, God! Oh, this is awful. I remember what it is now. I'm going to say a really horrible word, Roger.
No, don't worry about it.
And I'm going to say it because I'm just going to say a word, okay? And I apologise in advance, but this is what she tweeted. Was just crossing the road and a car beeped at me and a man shouted, spastic.
Yeah, I'll call that at school. Spacker, spastic.
That's incredible. I mean, again, at school...
I bet we can date that person from that insult.
Kids sniff out weakness, you know, and I'd use weakness in inverted commas. Difference, I suppose, is a better word.
Vulnerability.
But for a bloke driving, an adult driving a car and a woman's crossing the road. But even if you thought that, right, even if you're in your car and you think, oh, look at that. Even if you're thinking it, to then wind down the window, think, oh, I'm going to tell her and lean out and say that, that's taking it to a whole new level.
But you know what? Some people will be the asshole minority will be thinking while we're having this conversation.
Yeah.
Virtue signalling.
Yeah. Now, I don't care.
In my experience, virtue signalling is a term used by assholes to try to shame you for having a conscience.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, I'm a social justice warrior.
As soon as someone uses that term or snowflake, never mind, mate.
No, I don't buy the virtue signalling. Someone anonymous says, I thought your show was an alternative to Trump, Brexit and Muslims. Have you been ordered by your bosses to talk about these books? I've not really talked about Trump. I've not really talked about Muslims and not talked about Brexit. So you can stick that right up your backside.
Maybe the queue confusing the news with the show.
They could be. Roger, did we get to the point of your call?
Actually, I do have another point, because it seeps into all this. Because... You were talking about when we're talking about kids and being bullied and all that lot, and you can get away from that.
Yeah.
When in the days of social media now, you can't. Kids will get bullied.
Yeah.
Kids will get. Cause I had a Twitter rant earlier.
Oh.
Because I got really not nasty. I got really annoyed because I'd seen an article on a website.
Yeah.
And it was questioning smart speakers and their suitability for children. Oh. But of course, you've got to be careful with...
Hang on, do you have a rant about smart speakers? Well, like Alexa and stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, come on, man.
Yeah, Alex might... No, hear me out, Alex. You might get it. You might get it when I finish my point.
You'll get it in a minute. Go on.
Cheeky git. Yes. But... whenever there's articles like this, of course you've got to be careful.
What articles? When, what, saying that they're like a paedophile's delight? Was it Elon Musk writing it?
Not quite, but it was questioning whether... one of the organisations quoted were calling them data-gathering devices.
Yes.
Ooh, so sinister.
Well, no, I think we're going to fall out, because I think they are. My sister was telling me, right? Was it my sister? Someone... someone once told me, right, that they had an Alexa, right, and then they were talking about something. Like, they were talking about cottages in Wales, for example. I don't know what it was exactly. And then the next day, like in her Google, there were like loads of adverts for cottages in Wales.
Nah.
Yes, man.
Nah.
You're calling my sister a liar.
Or whoever it was.
I think it was my sister. You're calling my sister a liar.
It could have been a coincidence.
Don't say that, man. Roger.
Well, I don't know what data they're going to get. I don't know what data they're going to get from me, apart from radio listening habits.
Well, then there you go.
But technology.
Come on, get to the point, because I'm losing the will to live. Because you're wrong about this. You're wrong about this.
No, I love my Alexa for the simple reason I don't have to mess around with buttons, little screens. Oh. When I want to listen to the radio upstairs, I just tell it.
Okay, well, hang on a minute. So we should keep these paedophile delight boxes that record our conversations and then try and sell us stuff so you can listen to this rubbish.
Yeah.
For goodness sakes, man. Get a life, Roger! Get a life and man up! 03444991000, the late night alternative on Talk Radio.
Talk Radio, 24-hour radio debate and entertainment.
Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.